Things over time, and I realized that the Lord was there even when I wasn't even thinking about him. He was there all the time, watching over me, watching over you, and how thankful we are for that. It's good to be with you tonight in the house of the Lord. I want to open the scriptures to St. John chapter 4. The title is tonight, Heavenly Representation. Heavenly Representation. Rather lengthy reading, but it is God's Word, so that'll be good. St. John chapter 4, verse 1. It said, when therefore the Lord knew how that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria to him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now is not thy husband. In that said thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know not what, for we know that we worship for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, and he is, which is called Christ. When he shall come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pots, and went her way into the city, and saith unto the men, Come, and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Let's pray for a moment. Lord, as we've read your word tonight, we just pray, Lord, that you would just open the bread of life to us tonight. We just trust you, Lord. We're gathered here in your name, and so we just ask God that you take this portion of the service and just use it for your glory and speak to the hearts of your people. And we just give ourselves to you and surrender. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Heavenly representation. Amen. How many love the Word of God?
Amen.
So, reading this scripture here, it said that Jesus had need to go by Samaria. And so, thank God for a message that would help us see into this, all the things that are laying here. And I don't know that we would be able to even talk about them all tonight, by no means. But we thank the Lord for opening up the Word to us in this end time. Mm-hmm. And so he says, it says that Jesus needed to go by Samaria, and he went by there. And so the reason why he had to go by there was because this woman was there. And we know from the message, the prophet tells us, and I'll read to you here in just a moment, that she had representation in heaven. Right. Now, remember, heaven consists of the Word. Right. So she had representation in the Word. And remember, the Word can't fail, right? Heaven or pass away, but Word can't fail. And so what I want to express to you that is, you know, she was, when God spoke that Logos, she was in there. And right. And so when he spoke that Logos, you're in there, right? Yeah. And so she had representation in heaven, in the Word. And so because of that, Jesus had to come by, you know, because every one of God's thoughts and spoken words, they're attributes of God. They are attributes. And God doesn't lose his attributes. He doesn't lose his thoughts, right? So if she was a thought, spoken word, he don't lose that because he's infinite. And so he would have to come by and see her, just like we know that if there's a prophet in the land, the word of the Lord comes to the prophet. And so just like when Jesus was the Word and he was going to come to his ministry, before he could do that, he had to come to a prophet because he was the Word. The Word had to come to a prophet. So he came to John the Baptist, who was a prophet. It came right down to the water. So the Word came to the prophet, and then it could go to the rest of the world or go. And so, same way here, Jesus had to go by Samaria. Now, Brother Bram tells us, you know, as we get into this, he did the sign of a prophet there to her. And so Brother Bram shows how that Jesus did that sign of a prophet to the Jews. He did it to the Samaritans, but he hadn't done it to the Gentiles until our day. So he had to go there because she had representation. No matter what her position in life was, right? No matter how many failures she had, no matter how poor she was or how rich she was, that had nothing to do with it. It had to do with whether or not she had representation in heaven or not. Mm-hmm. And because she had representation in heaven, it makes no difference. The Word was going to come to her and speak to her life. God will find his own. And so, you know, this woman obviously had many heartaches, many sorrows through her life. Because here she was with a sixth man. She had had five husbands. And you know, that that was sad. If the men all died, that was sad. If they all just divorced her, that was sad. She had a very troublesome life.
Right.
And so, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter what all she went through. It was because she had representation in heaven. And if, let me just read what Brother Bram said about it here so you, we can springboard off of that. Brother Bram was talking, he said he was talking to her until he caught her spirit, see? And the Word discerns the thoughts that's in the heart. And he was the Word. I mean, he believes he was the Word. Sure, see? And the Word discerns the thoughts in the heart, see? And he found out what her trouble was, and we all know what it was. She had too many husbands. And he said, go get your husband and come here. And said, and she said, I don't have a husband. And he said, you've told the truth because you've had five, and the one you're with now is not yours. And Brother Bram said, now look at this little woman. See, she had fallen from God's thoughts. She could be redeemed. Why? Because she had been there to begin with. She could be redeemed. And so she was a subject. She had representation in heaven. And she turned and looked, and he said, look at the difference between her and them preachers, them priests, and them preachers that saw, when they saw it, they said, this man is a fortune teller. They didn't know the Word. But look what she said. She said, sir, you must be a prophet. And we haven't had one for hundreds of years, and we know that the Messiah coming, that's what he's going to do. Brother Bram said, and he was preaching in Birmingham, he said, oh my, she could teach Birmingham a few things or something. She could teach the rest of the world something. Yes, sir, she could teach these theological seminaries something, see? The same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, when she saw the same thing expressed that all the Pharisees and Sadducees and everybody else saw, and they said it was of the devil, that it meant something different to her. And so when she saw it, she said, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. And so obviously she could teach this generation something too. So when we talk about this woman at the well, to me, when I think about this, I think about Jesus coming to this end time church, this end time church here in the Laodicean age. And so, look at the parallel. So she had five husbands, and she was with one, obviously living with him, so that would make another one, sixth one or whatever. And so look at the Laodicean age. We've had six church ages, and now here we are. And so, and she was, Brother Ram said that Samaritans were half Jew, half Gentile, right? Mm-hmm. Half Jew, half Gentile. And to me, that's a type of this Laodicean age, which is, like neither hot nor cold, kind of somewhere in between, a mixed up group or whatever. And then all the way down here at the end, the Lord did not forget about us. He came here as a faithful and true witness in this day. Didn't forget about us. He came just like Jesus went to that woman at the well. Jesus came in our day and did the same sign of a prophet to us in this day, just like he did to her. Mm-hmm. And so when Jesus began to talk to her, when he walked up and said, give me a drink, she didn't know he was a prophet, and she didn't know he was Messiah. All she could tell was he was a man and he was a Jew. Probably because of the way he was dressed or something like that. But she knew he was a Jew enough to say that, why are you talking to me? Why are you asking me for a drink? We don't have dealings with you. So she knew. But that's all she knew. That's all she knew. And so it wouldn't have done him any good to walk up to her at that moment and say, I'm the Messiah. It wouldn't have meant a thing to her. Right. See, it doesn't work that way. And so he came to her on the level that she was at. And that's what God will always do. God will always come to us on our level. He's not going to stand up in some high, lofty position and holler and say, you get up here where I'm at. That's not the way he does it. He comes down to the level wherever the sinner is, wherever you are. He will come to your level and look you eye to eye, as it were, and to speak to you in a way that you can reciprocate. And that's what he did to her. He spoke to her on that level. All she could recognize was he was a man. And so that's why when I witness to people, I don't walk up to people and just right off the bat tell them God sent a prophet. Sometimes I might talk to them for months, and it will depend on how they reciprocate the word, whether or not I say anything more, higher, any more depth to them. And that's what you do. You go to them on a level that they can understand. You go to them and talk to them in a way that, and see how they reciprocate. See if what you speak to them, that there's peace and reciprocation there. And then if there is, then that provides you liberty to go a little higher, a little deeper, and go into the word even more. And of course, if it doesn't reciprocate, then you can't. So this is what Jesus did. He met her on her level. And we know this is a type of the way that he did this was a type of the pulls in the ministry today. And this was first pull. This was flesh. This was just interacting with her on a flesh, because that's all she could know. She didn't know he was a prophet. She just knew he was a man and he was a Jew. And so as a man, as a Jew, as a person, just speaking to her in a way that she could understand, that's how he began to deal with her. And so, but in that level, then he would begin to speak and draw and prepare a situation, prepare an atmosphere and an environment where he could take her higher. And that's what we do when we witness to people. We don't try to be offensive. We don't try to be dogmatic, right? We just, we meet him in a level that we can talk to him, that we might have an audience with him. And then if that reciprocates, then we can go a little bit higher, a little bit deeper, as your relationship with the person allows that. And so this was first pull. And so under first pull, that's all he's talking, and he's just talking in a flesh realm. But here's the thing. If representation is there, first pull works. I've talked to many, many people and couldn't get off ground zero with them, right? But if that person is a predestinated child of God, if they are, then when you just begin to meet them on that level and you begin to talk to them on the level that they are, there will be something there that responds. Right. And they will reciprocate, and you will be able to take that ground that you established with them on that level, and you'll be able to go higher with that. And so we don't have to resort to emotions. We don't even have to resort to being dogmatic. We don't have to resort to arguing with them, right?
Yeah.
It's just be the word. And so, there's so much. I've mentioned this. There's so many things that still is going on out in the, and even in message churches. And it would astound you. But I listened to a sermon called A True Sign That's Overlooked. And Brother Branham, it's really, and I hope this doesn't stagger anybody or it doesn't harm you in any way. We'll work through this, but I'm going to tell you what he said, and we can show it to you. But he said, he's talking about altar calls. And he's talking about how, preachers stand and work on the people's emotions and get them to come to an altar, do altar calls, drawing them on emotions. And he said, that's not God. And he actually said this. He said, even in my own ministry, sometimes when I walk out, I'm ashamed. Because he did it too.
Right?
And he said, but that's not God. And so it's a true conversion where you meet God, not emotions. And you know that the Holy Ghost can have emotions, right? But so can the devil, right? But he's saying, that what it is you meet God and God becomes tabernacled in you, and that's what it is, not any of this other stuff. And so there's so many things there. And so when you're witnessing to people, whatever, you don't have to, if there's representation there, you don't have to resort to anything else.
Right.
Just the word. Just be a genuine Christian and show the love of God out of your heart and your love for the word and just share on their level. That's all you have to do. And if there's representation there, they will come. Right. Right? If you're hungry, like this young man right here, he's probably hungry, just got off work. Right? I guarantee you, if you put some fried chicken in front of him, he's going to eat.
Right.
Yeah. No question about it. Matter of fact, I would too right now. He's going to eat. Right? So if there's representation there, there's something there that hungers for that word, even if they don't understand it. Right. Even if they don't know what's going on yet, there's something laying there. And that's why I said, even the first pull works if there's representation there. Right. Amen? Yeah. And so, we don't want to offend people and those sorts of things. We just, you know. And so Jesus began to speak to her under first pull. And under that first pull, he brought her to a place where he could take her higher. Under that first pull, she said to him, "Sir, give me this water that you're talking about." Right? Mm-hmm. She still didn't know he was a prophet. She just saw him as a man. But as a man, he began to interact with her enough that she reciprocated what he was offering, mm-hmm. what he was telling her. And she still didn't know anything except this man's a Jew. Probably didn't even know his name, right? Mm-hmm. But she went talking to him, and under that, just the simplicity of that word, under first pull, he was able to draw her and get her to want more. Mm-hmm. Enough that she said, "Sir, give me this living water so that I don't have to come back here anymore." And so, you know what Jesus did? He gave her that living water, right? Mm-hmm. So when she said that, that gave him opportunity. Now he's moved to a realm where now he can move to second pool. And so when he got her to the place where he could do that, where he could reveal those things to her, he showed her a true sign, right? A sign of a prophet. Brother Bram said in that sermon, a true sign that's overlooked is God always sends a prophet, and it's always overlooked, right? Yeah. And so Jesus showed her that true sign, that sign of a prophet, By doing discernment, right? He brought her to second pull, which now is not just on the flesh, but in the spirit realm, because when he did that sign of a prophet to her, she was smart enough to know, hey, this man's a prophet. Mm-hmm. See, she already had representation there, and because of that, she didn't say that's a devil, a fortune teller, mind reading. She said, you must be a prophet. And so he brought her to second pool. So now he's connected to her on a spirit realm. Not just a man. He's not just a man. Not just a Jew. But now he's a prophet. And so that's how he did it. And so when he got to that place where she knew he was a prophet, she knew that he was somebody worthy to talk to about religious matters. That's the way I've said it in the past. Because as soon as she said, "I perceive you're a prophet," she said, "Now, I want to talk about some things here." Mm-hmm. Because you Jews say that you have to worship God in Jerusalem, and we Samaritans, they say here in this mountain, and she said, "I want to know the truth. I want to know what's going on." She begins to, you know, and she says, you know, we know she was hungry. When Messiah's going to come, he'll tell us all these things. So, you know, she began right off the bat to say, hey, this guy is worth listening to. Right. Because she knew that sign of a prophet. And so, I say this about Brother Branham. See, what makes a man a prophet is because the word of the Lord comes to him. It might be audible, but in many cases, most cases, there's a vision. Mm-hmm. The word of the Lord came in a vision to the prophet. And obviously, Brother Branham had that. Jesus displayed that to her. That's how he told her, hey, you've got five husbands, because he was acting out the part of a prophet at that time. And so we know that. And so, but a man can only do that because the word of the Lord comes to him. So God has that gift in his life. And so you know when a man truly has that gift of a prophet, the word prophet, then that's God doing that, right? So if that's God doing that, then it's more something worth listening to. Because like Brother Ram said, would God do all these things only to propagate a lie? Would he vindicate the ministry the way he did, and then Brother Ram tell lies? Something would lead us off? You see, it doesn't work that way. Now, God doesn't expect us to listen to it blindly. He wants us to know that it's back to the Word. And so I can say that that's exactly, I know of nothing that Brother Branham ever taught that wasn't Word. There have been times maybe I wonder what was going on, but I find it to be true. It's always been true. And that's one of the reasons why we know this. But so if he has that gift in his life, and you know it's accurate and it doesn't miss, and It's all, and then you're like, okay, this man's going to tell us the truth. Right. He's going to tell us what we need to know. And that's what she saw. Hey, this man's a prophet. I can get some answers out of him. But you know what this modern generation did? They said, oh yeah, he's a prophet. Oh yeah, he never gets it wrong, but don't listen to his teaching. They did exactly the opposite. Right? The thing they should have said, like I said, like Brother Ram said, oh, she could teach Birmingham something. What? She could teach this generation something, because when they saw that gift operate the way they did in Brother Ram's ministry, they should have said, this is it. We're going to find out what truth is right here. But because that truth that he was preaching was not with their systems, they had to criticize it. Mm-hmm. And said, oh, you know, failing, as Brother Ram said, failing to realize that a prophet is a divine interpreter of the word, right? God interprets that word through that man's life. And so, as we've said, you know, Brother Branham was, in spiritual terminology, he was sterile. He could not pass his own seed, his own word, mm-hmm. his own teaching, right? Because he had to be that way. And so, why can't people see that today? I don't know. But again, as I said a while ago, when representation is there, the first pull works. When representation is there, the second pull works.
Right.
Right? But what is it working toward? It's not drawing them to a man, not drawing them to some organization, not trying to draw them to some sensation or something like that, but drawing them to that position that Christ paid for them in the first place, drawing them to an absolute new birth and encounter with the Word. Mm-hmm. And so, if a person has representation, they're going to come. As Brother Ram was saying in that sermon I was talking about a while ago, and he said, you know, they make these altar calls and all that. He said, a man can't come if God's not drawing him. And he said, and if God's drawing him, you don't have to do nothing to get him to come. Or, you know, just preach the Word, he's coming. And so, if that representation is there, they're coming. And that first pool's going to work, and that second pool's going to work. But it's not going to stop at first. It's not going to stop at second. It's going to go all the way to the third, because that's what is required to quicken that predestinated son or daughter of God. It takes more than just justification, more than just sanctification. It takes an actual indwelling of the Spirit of God in a new birth coming in to that person. And so, we don't have to argue with them. You know, I have witnessed to people, you know, and I've talked to them, and I've had it, you know, where they would actually reciprocate the word a little bit, and when I would finally get to the place where I'd sit down and tell them, hey, you know, here's what it is. That was the last civil conversation they had with me. They didn't want nothing to do with me after that.
Yeah.
And, you know, a precious brother that I used to work with years ago, John Hollis. When I first started working there, and I began to talk to him one day, just kind of witnessing to him, and he his first response to me when I was witnessing to him, his first response to me was, he turned to me and he said, I know one thing, in me there's nothing good. And I came home, I don't know if my wife remembers it or not, but I came home and I told her, and I said, you watch. He's one of them, right? And so I don't know, it might have been a year, I don't know, it was quite a while went by. I just talked to him, witnessed to him, whatever, and all of a sudden he come in one day and he said, I want to come to your church, right? And that's when we were going to Brother Shepherd's. He said, I want to come to your church. He just shared the word with him. I hadn't said a word about a prophet. And I thought, you know, because many times you get to the point where you tell them I'm a prophet, that's all they want, that's it. They don't. And I said, okay, let's talk. We gotta have a talk, you know. And I told him about that, and it didn't faze him one bit. He'd come right into church. He's the only man that I've ever seen that can sing a song using a tune of a different song and make it work. Did you remember him doing that? He didn't know he was Catholic. But he just loved the Lord, and he'd get up there and sing a song, and he sung that song using the tune of like Amazing Grace, and was singing, "I Shall Not Be Moved," or something like that. It was totally, but it worked. He made it work and didn't even know. He just did it, you know. But maybe he'll listen to this, and it was a blessing to me. And I mean, right off the bat, when we presented to him water baptism in Jesus' name, and I, you know, he was going to be the next week, and I thought, man, I hope he, you know, because you see so many turn and walk away from it. I'm like just praying, and yeah, you know, and he got baptized the next week, and a couple of days later, he came to me, he said, "I knew that baptism in Jesus' name was right, because as soon as I started moving that direction," he said, "man, the devil come all over me, fought me left and right," and he said, "I knew that that was right." And so, you don't have to argue, just share the word. And if representation is there, they'll come. And you can't make it be there, and you can't make them come if it's not there, see? So there's a certain relaxing, a certain, just take it easy, and just, you know, and I'll say this, that there's timing, too. There's timing involved for someone to come. Just because they're not responding to the word right now does not mean that they're not one of God's. There's timing. I remember seeing Brother Perryman and not wanting to be around him because he's going to talk to me about the Lord. And I didn't, you know, I didn't like that. But there's timing. And even when I gave my heart to the Lord, you know, right here in this building, there was a brother came through, and he actually had kind of not a prophet like Brother Brown, but a prophetic gift. And he didn't know me, but he said, it was in 91, and he said, "In 92, I will reveal my end time message to you." And I didn't know there was an end time message. Mary was sitting right behind me when he said those things. And I didn't know there was an end time message, but he said, "In 92, So in November of 91, I was introduced to tapes of Brother Branham. And then it was the second and third seal was the first two I listened to. And I listened to those in 1991, and they really didn't, nothing sparked. Just a preacher. See, I'm just follow the woman. Just a man. He was just another preacher. I listened to tapes of other preachers. They give. He's just a man. Just a preacher. But that prophecy said in 92, I'm going to reveal that. So it really wasn't, to follow the prophecy, then it really wouldn't have come alive to me yet in 91. But in February of 92, it exploded. And God did exactly what the man said, revealed to me this end time message. Right. And so the timing, right? There's timing. So don't fret about it. Just live. Just testify. Just share the word. Tell them how your fire got lit, you know. Don't be anything that you're not. And if there's representation there, it will make them hungry. It will make them thirsty, right? You be salty, they'll get thirsty, as Brother Branham said. And that's what Jesus did to this woman. He interacted with her on the first pull so she could get to the place where then he could reveal himself as a prophet. And then when she realized he was a prophet, then she knew what he was going to say was going to be the truth. So if a prophet's standing there and tells you, "I'm he," then she would believe it, right? And so as soon as he said, "I that speak unto thee am he," she didn't have it. She knew this was the Messiah. Why? Not just because he said it, but because he had shown the signs, right? And so we've seen that in our day, right? I realized in 92 this man was a prophet, right? Not in 91, but I went through those same phases, and later on, as the word is unfolding, then the word began to form in my life. It made a difference for me, and so to be what I am now. And so we see how that worked with the woman at the well. So the prophet revealed to her who he really was when he was showing her the sign of the prophet under that second pool. Then he was able to say, "This is the Messiah." And so she now caught the revelation of who he really was. She had a personal encounter, not with just a man, not with just a prophet, but she had a personal encounter with the Messiah himself, with the Word himself. And that was third pull. That made a difference in her life. That changed her testimony. That put her in a place where she wasn't going to go back anymore. And, you know, I thought it was really interesting. The scripture said she went back to the city and said to the men, come see the man that told me everything. Didn't this is the very Messiah. Threw her water pot down and ran. We know the story. And so, but it was that third pool is what was reversible. What we irreversible. He could speak to her as a man. That didn't change anything. He can actually reveal himself as a prophet. Yeah, that got her interest, but that didn't form a new birth in her. But when she come into contact, third pool contact with the word, there was a birth inside her that changed her. And at that point, she wasn't going back. I'm sure we'll get to shake her hand, hug her neck when we get there and find out the rest of her story. She come to that place where she was changed. And so I said, you know, while I go, you know, justification, a person can come to that, then they can go back. They can backslide from it. You can come to sanctification and you can fall back. But brother, sister, when the word is formed in your heart, when that's birthed inside you, it can't die. It's eternal life, and you can't kill eternal life. Like Brother Bram said, they tried to boil the Holy Ghost out of John in a vat of oil for 24 hours. And he said, you can't boil the Holy Ghost out of someone. You can't take away. That's why Jesus said, you know, don't fear him that can kill the body, right? Don't fear this world. He actually talking about, don't fear the atomic bombs that could make us all dust in 5 minutes. Don't fear that. Right? Because if you have eternal life, Satan can't touch that soul. Mm-hmm. And that's where God wants to take us, because that's what is required. To have that living word inside us alive is what it requires. And then we won't perish. And so when eternal life comes in, it never leaves. And so I'll end by saying this, that if that woman, I may have mentioned it earlier, but if that woman would have known that she had representation in heaven, she could probably relaxed. And so I say that as you see now her life, and you see what God has done in our day, and you see how he's dealt with you, then what about you? And you recognize there's something working in you that you didn't put there that draws you. It makes you love this word. Then that's a work God has started in you, and it can't fail. Amen? Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about it. And so if she would have known those things, she probably could relax and not been so upset and had so much troubles. And her life probably would have been totally different. Amen? What about us? Mm-hmm. Can we not do the same thing? Look at that and relax and say, you know what? I'm a work that God started. And according to scriptures, he's going to finish it. Because you didn't do it. You didn't start it. You didn't draw yourself. He did. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so we believe that. We thank God for this little story in here. Has to be that story is in the Bible for a reason. Mm-hmm. Right? Because we can all identify with that. Yeah. We've been in and out of many, many things. But once you meet Christ face to face, it changes you. As we sung a while ago, have you tasted that the Lord, he is gracious, right? Have you come and tasted the Lord and see that he's good? And once you do that, then you're a changed person. We know that. And so let's just bow our hearts and we'll pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for this little time together with your people. Lord, that you just take these words that have been spoken and I just, may they ponder on them, think about it, but most of all, Lord, may they be able to see these things in their own life. Lord, that's what is more important to me. Lord, is for us together on the other side, each one of us together, in these things that we sing about and we talk about. And so I pray, Lord, that as these things are ministered, that it would have an effect in the hearts of your people, that they would begin to have a confidence in their own walk, begin to realize that there's nothing can take them out of your hand. We thank you, Lord, for these things. Commit them into your hands and ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pictures of it. mission work last night.
Yeah.
Make you feel good.
Yeah.
How many feel like eagles? Spread your
Spirit.